Let us hear the word for our meditation this day. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is the body, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word is truth. And Lord, today the truth is, as we near the end of another church year, and as we look towards the time when you will come back, when you are coming soon, when we see the day approaching, Lord, we want to hold unswervingly to the hope that we have, that we profess, the promises of God, because you alone are faithful. So Lord, may we hold to the promises that we have as your children, as your family, here this day. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we approach the end of the church year, we have a kind of a countdown of sorts, where we count down and we look at the passages of Scripture that Jesus gave. For example, today in Daniel, we saw the last chapter of Daniel, where he talks about the end, where some will be raised to everlasting life, others to everlasting condemnation. He says that the wise will shine like stars in the universe. It's a powerful image. We hear Jesus in the last week of his ministry with his disciples telling them, don't be enamored with the magnificence of things in this world, because everything in this world that you think is magnificent will be brought down. That there will be times when, like in Daniel chapter 12, where there will be terrible times. And yet even through those terrible times, he says, those who remain faithful to the end will be saved. Today I'd like to look at Hebrews chapter 10, because Hebrews chapter 10 comes before one of the most exciting chapters in the Bible, in my opinion, which is Hebrews chapter 11. 10 comes before 11, just in case you were worried. Hebrews chapter 10 is the preamble to what's called the faith chapter. And it's interesting because the faith chapter talks about the faith of people right from the beginning of the Scriptures to the end. Talks about the faith of people that was credited to them as righteousness because they trusted in God. But it's interesting, the preamble is the reason that they could have faith and that they could be faithful was because they knew what we are going to hear today, that he who promised is faithful. And brothers and sisters, we are going to go through times, I just experienced it this week, where our world is rocked. Our world, the foundations, the things that we really think are steady and firm, will get rocked. Earthquakes, you know, things that you can't predict, that just happen. And the reality is, as we approach those things in our life where things happen to us that we just didn't see coming. I had a thing happen to me on Friday that was, you know, it's in Canada, so it's not affected me here. I got this wonderful gift of pastoring a great church, and things are going really well, and I'm excited, and we're moving forward, and we're doing the Dundee mission, and we see the elders are being affirmed today, and all these things are happening. It's exciting and it's growing, and in areas of in my life that are not tied to this church, The Lord's saying, okay, we're going to just challenge you on this area. We're going to let this be your challenge area. When I was going through stuff at the church, these areas were fine. Now when I'm going through a great time and rejoicing and with sincere hearts gladly praising God, everything else is like crumbling. I don't know, isn't there something in the Bible where the Lord says, you know, we'll not be tested beyond our ability to stand? Like, he really takes that seriously. And so on Friday for me was a very trying day, and for that reason, I was really, my world was really rocked, and I have to say, it felt like an earthquake. And I haven't been through an earthquake personally, but I've heard testimony of people going through earthquake where there is just no place to hold on. Everything that we normally grab is moving. There's just no place to hold on. Everything just seems like it's shifting. And I don't want to ever experience that, quite honestly. Tell you that right now. Lord, remember that. I really don't want to experience it. That's why I like living in the Midwest. I don't think we've had an earthquake here for a long time. Right? Not ever. Okay, good. Thank you, Mark. I needed to hear that. So we know that, but in our life, we go through times where we have earthquakes of sorts, right? I'm going to make this assumption, that you've all had times in your life where you felt like the ground was moving. Things that we hoped for, things that we believed in, things that we may have trusted in, just seem to be going all weird on us, okay? And it's really important, brothers and sisters, that at those times we hear the word that we have received today. We hear the promise of Michael coming to gather the saints and raise the dead and take us to everlasting life. It's important that we hear what Jesus said, that no matter what, he who is faithful to the end will be saved. These are promises that we can take to the bank. These are promises that we can trust in and believe in and hope in. And that's why the author of Hebrews puts it this way, and I think it's significant. I don't have time today, but I would like you to someday take time to read in the Old Testament what happened in the Jewish temple when it was the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and he would make a sacrifice for all the people of the Jewish nation. I would like you to read the similarities between what's happening in Hebrews 10 in regards to Jesus being the final priest, the great priest, the one who does it once and for all, versus what was happening in the temple every Day of Atonement, every time there was a festival, what was happening with purification, with the sprinkling of blood, with all the symbols that are here in Hebrews 10. I don't have time to go through, but I would like to challenge you to take the time to go back into the Old Testament. If you want the passages, I don't have time to list them all, but I can get them for you. And I would strongly encourage you to go back and see what he's saying. He's saying that everything that they are doing on a regular basis, that they're doing in order to appease God, in order to make sacrifice, are done, completed in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness is assured in Christ Jesus. There's no more need for sacrifice. There's no more need because it was a once and for all sacrifice, once and for all time. And what he's saying is, when we hear that, when we hold to the promise of what Christ has done and continues to do in forgiving us our sins, that we should be people who have confidence. We have confidence that Jesus has done what was happening on a regular basis. He even used the word in chapter 10, verse 15. The Holy Spirit testifies to this. The Holy Spirit testifies to what was happening consistently at this time in the temple was no longer necessary because God had done it all. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, he meant it. When he rose from the dead, it was guaranteed. And I want to just talk about that word guaranteed. Have any of you lived at a time when a person's word was their bond? Some of you. Where a guarantee meant a guarantee? Sometimes when I use that word, I think people think of a guarantee like we hear sometimes, you know, satisfaction guaranteed, and what that basically means, if you're persistent enough, and if you push hard enough, then you might get satisfied. But that's not the way it is in the gospel. The word guaranteed means this is something that you can trust in. This is something that will never quake. This is something that will never crumble. This is something that will stand the test of time and is forever. That's the promise. And the word in Greek for promise is the same root word as angel, messenger. And it's epangelo. Epangelo. And epangelo is the word that they use here, the promise. He who has promised, this word promise, is the same as when the angels came to tell Mary and the angel Gabriel came to tell Joseph and the angels gave messages that were true to the people of God. And that's why it's so important to understand this. The promise is what God has promised, and God can seal and deliver it. Okay? When he makes a promise, it is true. When he says, we will be saved, he means it. When he says, you are forgiven, he means it. And the thing that Satan is trying to do, at least he was trying to do in my life, was he was trying to say, well, you know those guarantees that you see out there? That's kind of like the word of God. You know, it's not really totally, you can't really totally trust it because things are moving. And yet the thing that we have got to understand and what is our challenge is to say, get behind me, Satan, because you do not understand my God. My God is timeless. My God is so powerful. I mean, you've heard this saying over and over again, and I have heard it as well, where it says, don't tell God how large the storm is, but what? Tell the storm how big our God is, right? Isn't that true? I've heard that over and over again, and yet it's just something we say, but to really mean it, to stand up to the storms in our life, to stand up to those things that make us feel like the foundation is crumbling and say, you don't have power over me. Because I'm a child of God and I have victory. Because Jesus has won the victory. And he who promised is faithful. He is. He keeps his promises. He tells us that he will not give us things beyond our ability to resist. He tells us that he will be there. He tells us that when we pray, he will answer our prayers. He tells us that we can be healed. He tells us that he will do what he promises. And I know it sounds simple, but I'll tell you something. This week, I struggled with this. And I thought to myself, I know it up here, but you know what, brothers and sisters? This is what, again, the word we learned last week, remember? Sincerity. This is exactly what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, let us approach God with sincere hearts. Because he understands that we need, he says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in the full assurance of faith. You see, as we approach God, this is why we need to gather together. This is the end, I'm jumping ahead, but the end of this, of chapter 10 says, let us not avoid meeting together, because this is why we come together. This is why we're here today. So we can encourage one another toward love and good deeds, towards knowing the power that we have, that Satan can never take away what God has given to us. To stand together as an army, as a family, to get together supporting one another as we look out and see all the ways that Satan attacks us day by day by day. I want to close by challenging you. And this is not on your own power, your own strength, but this is a gift from God. This is his promise to us. He desperately wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit day by day by day so that you can stand. I remember when I went to Bible camp, and Mrs. Hart reminded me when she shared about Bible camp. We learned this song at Bible camp, and when you were talking, it kept coming into my mind, and I don't even know what the title of the song is, but it's Standing on the Promises of God. You ever learn that song at Bible camp? Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Pretty cool, hey? Are we standing on the promises of God? Because that's really the challenge, isn't it? When everything's crumbling around us, we can stand. We can stand firm on the promises that God has made to us. That if we stand firm to the end, we will be saved. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. It's hard. But it's true. Let us draw near with sincere hearts. Let us be confident. Let us receive what the Lord has for us, his power, his strength, his forgiveness, his grace, his healing, his spirit, so we can let people know that Satan has not won the victory. The world has not won the victory. That the victory was won on the cross of Calvary, that we enter this through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we can call out Satan on this. We can call out the world and say, you are defeated. You're toast. You're done. And it's time we stand on the promises of God. And if, you know what, I hesitate to do this, but because I've been thinking to myself, you know, my sermons are pretty much the same all the time. Going, what is this, you know? I'm going to get tired of this. But you know what? As I was praying about today, the Lord told me, that's because where if they don't hear it here, where are they going to hear it? If you don't hear it here, where are you going to hear it? You're going to hear it on the news? You're going to hear it in the newspaper? You're going to hear it on prime time? You're going to hear it on the radio? If you don't hear it here, where are you going to hear that if you hold unswervingly to the promises of God, because he who promised is faithful, we do have the victory. We do. And it's time to let the world know. It's time to let the world know that we are children of God and we have won the victory. Standing on the promises of God, our Savior. Standing on the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, who is and will always be faithful. He is capable of doing what he promises, brothers and sisters. Let us just bask in the truth of his power, his grace, his love, and his promise. Amen. Let us stand as we confess our faith in the words of the apostle.